You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It's still one step ahead of you. I still believe in the R&R dream. R&R as primal scream.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tom.
And no Bob today. No Bob today.
That's weird.
Has this ever happened before?
I think this might be the first one. Yeah. And just to be fair, two of the three members of Axe to Grind are incredibly busy right now. But we have we're like Lou Gehrig without the disease. We have to continue our streak.
Yes, that's correct.
We've had a streak of probably 4 years or 5 years that we've not missed a week.
Yes.
Something crazy. So I reached out. Pat was able to jump on. So we're going to jump on really quickly. Before we start, we have to do our ad reads. This is tough without Bob.
Yeah, I mean,
he holds us down.
Yeah, without question, he's production. You know what I mean? Like exactly. he keeps it moving. But we're going to do the sloppy style because I'm going to jump out and do run for cover. All right.
Do it.
Now, Tom, this might be a larger conversation that we can have based on what I'm about to say. Horse Jumper of Love releases new single, Gates of Heaven. Okay. Now I'd like everybody to go listen to this, but that's not what I'm fit to talk about. Upcoming tours with Dive. Remember Dive, D-I-I-V, right?
IV, yeah.
Who I have not checked in with in a long time, but the old stuff was really quite good.
And they just put out a new record, I think, recently.
And this is the one I find super interesting. Always? Now, Tom, don't say a word. Are you familiar with this band?
With the band Always?
Yes.
Yes. Marry me, Archie. Yeah.
Okay. So a friend of mine keeps telling me he's got tickets for this Always show. And I keep telling him, I have no idea what that is. Okay. And he was at my wedding this weekend with and there was a lot of other musician people there. So I just said, hold on, Sean. And I walked over to some other people saying, do you have any idea what the fuck Always is? And everybody said, yeah, their song plays on Sirius satellite radio like 30 times an hour.
They're huge.
Yes, it's massive. It's two V's, everybody. I've never heard this band or heard of this band in my life. And the conversation I want to have with you is, A, am I spent? And B, is it possible to go so far down your own genre of choice that you are oblivious to what is going on in everybody else's genre of choice?
Yes. So you're in the Upside Down.
Yeah. I mean, I Always being a big band. Do me a favor. Check their Spotify. What's that look like?
Sure. I mean, you're going to be shocked. You're going to ask for them to be the next tour. Hold on. Always. 2 million.
2 million.
I mean, you'll hate it.
Will I? What is it? Bleep Bloop?
Oh, no. It's a rock band. It's a very indie, I can't believe you never heard that song, Marry Me, Archie. That's a hit.
That's what everybody's saying.
Not a hit that you walk around Walmart and see and hear it, but like a indie rock hit.
Okay.
Her voice is cool. It's good. I dig it.
Okay. But. So that's kind of the thing. After a certain age, you know what? Let's do your ad read so that we don't get too far.
And then we go back to
being, and then we'll go back to me being clueless.
All right. And I have questions. I have so many questions. We're going down to North Carolina to our buddies at To Live a Lie.
Let's go.
Let's go. I'm very happy to announce that they are involved in a giant repress that goes up on April 8th. The three Spaz LPs. So that would be La Revancha, which I'm familiar with. The Dwarf Jester Rising, which I'm not as familiar with.
No.
And Crush, Kill, Destroy, which I'm very familiar with.
Yes. Okay. So there's... That's funny that there's one in the middle that neither of us could really say, yeah, yes, I've listened to that in the car.
Like, I can't even picture this, like, in a record store. Like, I didn't, like, flip past this or any, like, I've never seen this before. But when it comes to, like, you know, this sort of music, I'm a bit of a pose. So, yeah, so they're, April 8th is going up at noon, right before the eclipse, as it says. Yeah, so go check that out to livealive.com. Yeah, the three Spaz records. I don't know, like, will there be a Spaz renaissance? Because I feel like there's so many people that would probably like this and enjoy it because it's like, it's heavy, it's fast, and it's funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's people out there, like, there's people out there, there's, I would say 75%, maybe this is high, people that like love Spy.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
Don't know who Spaz is. Same thing, like Gel fans. Like this could hit so many people's like sweet spots, but I feel like they're trapped in amber for like if you're under 35, 38.
Yeah, 35 might be charitable in terms of your ability to have. I mean, they stopped playing when, right? So this was okay. So Tom and I are going to. Do a thing that we probably never thought we were going to do in this life, which is kind of wax nostalgic about Spaz. And if Bob was here, he could do it too.
Yeah.
Not because any of us were wildly big fans. It was more of a band that we all kind of respected, didn't reach for, you know what I mean? But yeah. They were undeniably part of the landscape and conversation. There's a lot of bands like this that maybe, I mean, this could go to our conversation about being in your own hole because perhaps Spaz, it's possible these represses do wild numbers, you know, and we just don't know that, right? That's possible because is it going to be is it going to be a lot of people who were there? A lot of people who miss them by a couple of years, but have great memories of the records, or is it going to be a whole new generation? Now, obviously, if you're to live a lie, you're hoping all of the above.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I just don't know anymore. I mean, there's so many bands that are either reuniting or repressing old material with new art, or obviously on labels that hopefully will add to their relevance because they're what's popping now. And I've become really bad, even through my like additional access to all this stuff through the podcast. I've become really bad at guessing at what goes and what doesn't. Like when you told me that the Code 7 releases were selling through or whatever, I was like, yeah. You know, there's no reason that they shouldn't. It's just you never know, you know?
Right, and that's why we're not A&R people.
Yeah, correct.
Did I ever tell you my A&R stories? Not A&R. Like, I never actually acted for as A&R person, but, like, stuff that, like, people would tell me, I'd go, that's stupid.
Oh, I've done this a million times.
But, these people wouldn't. So, a friend of mine signed Taking Back Sunday to Victor. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I heard the demo, and I wasn't that impressed, even though I like it now.
Yep.
But I was like, that's not going to go anywhere. Then playing CBGB's, the Hellfest, the Earth Crisis weekend, the last Earth Crisis show, we play with Arm Angelus.
Yep.
Right. So I'm sitting outside, and our friend Tim Fredrickson from Seattle, well, now in Seattle.
Now Seattle.
Friends with Joe Troman, right? So he's sitting outside. He's like, yeah, like me and like Pete and a bunch of dudes are starting this band. It's pretty much just to get girls and make money. And I was like, that sounds ridiculous. Like, you're breaking up your hardcore band to do this. That band, Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, listen, it is, without question, nobody should count on us for anything except for enthusiasm about things that we like. There is no chance that anything that we think, there's a chance that something we think is great will pop. It will be entirely accidental.
Yeah, we're not finding like the diamond. Like we have friends that I'm like, how did you even find it? Like, are you just like pouring through band camps and you find these bands? I'm like, I don't have like the ear for it. Or when I go, this is going to be the next thing. And then it's like, oh, nope.
Hey, yo, what do you think of that? What do you think of those stories when some when bands get on big tours and you'll say, how did that come together? And they'll be like, you know, it's just so-and-so is just on Bandcamp all day, just going, he just loved our record. Do you ever believe that?
No, it's shared management agent.
Yes.
Your cousins, cousins with different last names or something. Yeah, I don't buy that.
Yeah, I'm fully convinced that James Hetfield, in between his spa dates, is just going through Bandcamp's interface.
Good metal bands. Yeah.
Like for fans of. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody.
I have questions.
I'm just going to say it is important that you check out Spaz.
Check out Spaz. Yeah. Whatever kind of hardcore you like, just check it.
Check it.
Because you'll dig it. I really think you'd dig it. Super funny. They make fun of vegan people. They talk about farts.
Yeah.
It's like this Descendants, but like heavy.
I think you just no-sold it to a lot of people. It's also heavy, everybody.
Yeah. It's not farts. There's some fart songs, but not a lot.
Okay, let's get down to business. Thank you to our sponsors, by the way. Obviously, without Bob here, we're a little loose on all of this.
Right. Shout out to Closed Casket and shout out to Convulse.
There you go. Nah, well. You're nasty. You're nasty. You're good. All right.
Not a priority.
Let's talk about being totally cashed, spent, burnt, really past your prime. And just I admired certain people. I always say that Will Killingsworth, if you try talking to him about music that is not what he's interested in, he'll just look at you blankly and go, I don't know anything about that. And you think he's doing a bit because you'll be talking about Lady Gaga, right? And and he'll say, I don't really have, and he's not being like a pompous dick. He's just saying he's
I have no idea.
Yeah, being very sincere, like what's that about? And you're like, well, I don't. I'm sorry. What is Jay-Z about? What he's a rapper. Where else do we go? So, and I find it a frustrating, obviously, when you're trying to use a comparison or talk about something. But it is there's something admirable in I like what I like, right? And
sure,
but. Am I supposed to know what always is?
I can go in both directions. Number one, no. Like live the life that you lead and like the music you play doesn't really intersect with always, if we're being honest.
And,
right?
I think
when you were living in LA, you weren't like, let me go to the Greek and see what's happening.
No, and when kids were killing the kid from the neighborhood, I didn't know he was a guy. You know what I mean?
Thought he was like a friend of theirs. That was like relatively popular, but not like, oh, like millions of people know who this dude is. I had no idea.
I found out that one song, Sweater Weather, is something like the top 200 streamed songs.
Like always, like ever? History? Like, yeah.
I think at that point you're making money on Spotify.
So I mean, at least God like bless. $72.
Yeah. So God bless. But secondly, I didn't know that was a fella. Could have been behind me at Del Taco. Wouldn't have thought anything about that.
But I think most people wouldn't have recognized him.
Well, you want to hear something? Yeah. Got recognized in a hotel spa today.
And we call that being recognized?
I got recognized in a hotel spa.
Really?
I got a pedicure.
Wow.
First one in my life.
Was it weird?
It was not as weird as you would think. I would actually suggest it.
Did you go to the ones where the fish eat your dead skin?
Nah, that's not vegan enough for me. But I was chilling with the woman who did my feet, Mexican lady. We just talked about the phenomenon of colorism in Mexico while she just
clipped your toenails,
buffed me up. It was pretty good.
Wow.
I learned a lot about how Northern Mexico views people. Well, I guess they're all people of color, black people. Something I didn't know a lot about. I'm trying to tell her, I say, sorry, miss, I'm from the East Coast. We just call everybody Spanish. And she goes, oh, I know. My husband is from New York City. It was a big fight for the first 3 years of our marriage.
Yeah.
Could call me Spanish.
It's insane, though, that we do that. That, like, you could be from Malaga or you could be from, like, Juarez, and you're both Spanish. Like, that's so fucked up. That is so fucked up.
That's what she said. She said, and I love the way – so this is an American citizen who is – sorry, but this is my toe woman's personal history. But she was actually born in the United States and then went back to Mexico for many years to be with her family. But, I mean, she's a worldly person. She's been around. But the way that she struggled to say Baltimore was, like, very interesting because obviously Baltimore has no relevance in her life at all. So it's like – when you said what word did you say? Managua?
What? Malaga.
Malaga.
Malaga. Yeah, in Spain.
So because I'll probably use that word four times in my entire life.
You're not gonna know how to say it, right?
Yes, and because Baltimore is not relevant to this woman who lives in Las Vegas, and I don't think has ever crossed husband's
the Mississippi.
York, yeah. The way she struggled to say Baltimore, but she was like, she said, yes, I had a coworker from Baltimore who kept calling me Spanish and it was driving me insane. And I was like, I was like, and she said, but you're Puerto Rican. And he said, yeah, we're Spanish. And
and he was also like, he was, so it wasn't even like a dumb white person. It was
no.
Oh my God.
Here's her theory. Sorry, everybody that wanted to talk hardcore. We'll get to it. Here's her theory. Is that there's so much animus between certain Spanish-speaking peoples that the East Coast keeps it safe with going Spanish. Now, as ignorant as that may be, it's
may not be wrong.
For people that don't know, if you're just like if you're just unfamiliar and you mix up Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, and somebody's gonna be big mad. You know what I mean? Like
huge mad. Like there's a war. Like not a war. Like but like they. Yeah, if you go like you're Dominican, right? And the guy's like, I'm Puerto Rican or I'm Cuban.
Yeah.
People get like. I mean, you know what though? If someone goes, you're English, and I go, no, I'm Irish.
Right.
It's the same. I mean, not that there's any kind of colonial. Like I don't think there's any colonialism between.
Well,
maybe actually
there. Yeah. You could say there's colonialism there, but you could say, which by the way, I just, sorry, everybody, this is going to be a rather schizophrenic podcast. I just sat with a friend of mine who works in, he's a professor, but his expertise is Homeland Security. And, I just got the inside track on Haiti. Whoa, boy.
Not great. Not good.
Whoa, boy.
A lot of stuff happening.
So keep those people in your thoughts because it's going to be a rough, several years.
You don't hear much about it.
No.
Super unfortunate.
Well, he says that there's, some of our audience will find this interesting. He says that there is a very strange thing happening in the Western media that keeps referring to these people, these paramilitary groups in Haiti as gangs.
Yeah.
And
it's not.
He said it's warlords and paramilitaries. He said it's not gangs as we would understand it, and it's irresponsible for the media to keep doing that.
Right, because it almost undercuts the power of the people that are doing it and the expertise and everything else.
Yes, exactly. So, at any rate, okay. So let's start with, without naming names, is there anybody you know that went so far down the hardcore hole that they actually don't even have access mentally to other forms of music?
I'm trying to think.
I know one, and you know him too, but his name is Verboten. We won't say it, but I know one.
Is he Dutch? That was a joke. Cause Verboten sounds like a Dutch name. I'm sorry. Joe Verboten. I probably do. Yeah. I think young folks, definitely not.
Okay.
Although I think a lot of young people like hardcore for the most part and like one other thing.
Yes. One other thing.
Like when I'm thinking about like the people I'm thinking of, and they're not young. They're probably like late 20s, early 30s. They're like hardcore and hip hop.
Well,
I was like, do you like alternative? You know, do you like Death Cab for Cutie? And they're like, nah, man. Like, or whatever.
I was going to use the example of when I've started calling things the Snapple generation. Because if you remember when Snapple was relevant,
yeah,
then you're over a certain age. You know those online things where it's like, oh, if she doesn't remember 9/11, you can't date her. This is one of those things. Snapple being culturally relevant is
ubiquitous everywhere.
Ubiquitous. Now I wouldn't know where to find Snapple, right?
Right. If you don't know Wendy the Snapple Lady.
Yes.
I mean, I remember like it coming out like because it was based out of New York. It was based out of Long Island.
Right.
It was in Valley Stream, Long Island.
So the Snapple generation, let's call them, right?
Is that a new thing? Are you coining that?
I'm coining that.
I like that.
Won't
Do we
take
have
off.
A time frame for it.
You'd have to be between, I would think, 36 and 48 right now, right? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was at the cutting edge, the bleeding edge of Snapple.
The Snapple generation. Yeah. So I think that the Snapple generation, it was hardcore and Wu-Tang Clan. Remember, all the kids.
That was how you're like, I like other stuff.
Yeah, I like other stuff.
Portishead, Wu-Tang,
yeah,
and Gorilla Biscuits. That's like, right. Whatever, yeah.
That's right. And then for a while, it was obviously completely acceptable to be have some interest in pop punk, right? Because there was a couple edge case bands that hardcore kids could feel all right about, you know?
Sure.
And of course, there was the when I say emo, I'm talking about like, you know, black rimmed glasses and that sort of thing. Not what the kids, you know, the people younger than me call emo. Like, for example, my stepson saw my wife has a tattoo that she doesn't love. She's getting it removed. And he says, Mom, were you an emo? You know, he's 10.
Wow.
So his understanding
it's like
of
in
that,
everyone's parlance now. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way that I said that made it sound like she's got like a white pride tattoo. No, everybody.
It's like a Mike Hemp tattoo or something.
No, it's just a against me tattoo that just it does. Oh, what is it? Oh, I got it wrong. But it's but at any rate, his conception of emo is obviously worlds away from
right. What you think of
even like a 26-year-old.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So at any rate, the. So then that was acceptable to be the other thing that you were into, but that's like a cheat because that's so adjacent to hardcore music anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And then, for a while, I mean, there's a weird kind of unknown generation of hardcore kids that were also really invested in, kind of the basement, you know, I guess what we very broadly call hip hop, but lo-fi hip hop stuff. You know what I mean? Like
backpacker type stuff.
That happened for a minute. I'm trying to think of other, but right now, as you are always pointing out, it's rare to run into a hardcore kid who is so narrow that they only like hardcore. Whereas there was definitely moments of that.
Because now it's like it's people look down their note if they're like, yo, if you only listen to hardcore, like there's something wrong, like see a therapist or there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like back then it would be like when I was I tell stories, it's like I'd go to like some fucking sketchy show and have not sketchy white power, but like sketchy like gang. I'm like, I got a Soundgarden Bad Motor Finger shirt on.
Sure.
I might as well put a target on my face.
Sure.
You know, but like now it would be like sick shirt.
Oh, but now it'd be like, did you get that for less than 80? Because that's a great deal on Depot. Yeah. Or Grail. I guess Grail is the new one. I'm spent, man. Here's the thing. Do you feel any obligation to be plugged in?
With hardcore, I do. But like everything else, not particularly.
Not particularly.
Yeah, I was with my family. I have a 20-year-old niece, and like the stuff that she listens to, you know, she's like, "I'm going to see Hozier," and I was like, Hosier or whatever, the Irish guy.
Okay.
And like my whole family. So yeah, there's another. So, but I mean, he had a single maybe 10 years ago. It was huge, called Take Me to Church. It's like very soulful.
Where was I?
I don't know. Maybe playing basements, apparently, with South Carolina family.
100%, yeah.
But it was like a really big song. And but like now he's a guy that's doing four nights at Forest Hill Stadium, which is like 18,000 people a night.
God.
He hasn't had a single like a big hit since then. But like, I know people that are like obsessed with it. Like, and, but like now, like my 20-year-old niece is upset. Like, and an ex-girlfriend of mine who's 40 is obsessed with him. So I'm like, who the – like, it's just so strange. Like, it just – the randomness of like, and then I get this guy. You want to, I'll show that I'm old and out of touch. I keep getting this ad for this that kid
Leroy.
No, but it's like he's a singer or something.
Oh wait, is it
not the guy that works with Greg?
No. The kid Leroy is a rapper.
Right, but he's like playing like arenas.
Yeah, he's kind of a this is going to be a reference lost on anybody not in the Snapple generation. He looks like Jack Noseworthy to me. Do you remember who that is?
I do.
Okay, so he's an Australian kid.
Oh,
who is from a mining town, truly in the desert, truly in the middle of nowhere, and through his association with, I don't even know,
Bieber.
Thank you. Has become super massive. This shows you how the type of spent that I am. I know him best from his emote on Fortnite.
Well, I mean, at least Fortnite is like keeps you young. So if you had a guess, his biggest song is obviously the Justin Bieber collab. Yeah. How many listens do you think this has?
The collab?
Yes.
Oh man.
Whatever you say, it's going to be wrong.
Is it over 30 million?
Oh, dude, that's like last week.
Is it over 100 million?
Oh, yeah.
What? All right, just give me the Leroy here.
3 billion listens.
God.
3,780,007 listens.
Can I have a vulnerable moment for a second?
Always.
I have to put real labor into getting 150,000 people to listen to my music.
And I mean, you're probably, dude, and in reality, you're probably like top 5%.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Which is crazy. Like you go 150, this guy's got, 3 billion people listening to his songs. But I bet like if you did like, because they do that for like podcasts too. It's like if you have more than like 100 weekly listeners, you're in the top like 1% of podcasts or something.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're like in like, if it's like that bell curve, we are way out.
Yeah. We can feel upper echelon, even though the next jump from where we're at is a magnitude. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So it's and everybody, all these things are relative. Obviously, if you are, if you're Spaz and you're playing a style of music that is by necessity highly limiting in terms of its potential listenership, you could feel like $1 million over 5,000 listeners. You know what I mean? You could feel great. So it's all relative, but yeah, whenever I hear billions, I think, oh my God, I gotta, like, my back hurts carrying this 150. You know what I mean? by the way, to change subject slightly, but just in terms of success and everything. So my wedding was this weekend.
Yeah. I was going to do like a whole thing.
Oh, well, you can still do a thing.
I was going to do the like waka waka, like anything happened this weekend?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, thank you for your well wishes on the internet and everything. My wife and I are very blessed for all the kindness that people have extended. It was a nice event and all that. But you're putting a lot of different types of people in a room together, right?
Right.
So friends of mine from high school, friends of mine from music, it's just a lot of different careers, different interests. I thought it was fascinating. I went to the spa with two of my oldest friends, guys from high school, today, and we were talking about the dinner and everything, and the takeaway was we need to make more money, because we were around a couple guys who make serious money. And sure.
All music?
No, one guy's music, one guy's tech. And sure. And then of course, the Alkaline Trio guys were there, and they're not scrubs. They do well on their music and everything, but there was just a couple like, yeah, I actually had two guys compete for who's the most successful friend. One has 60 employees, the other has 90. So we had to, in the end, we had to give it to the 90, even though, cause we weren't, it would be uncouth to count their bank accounts, but they have a lot of employees, and that's what we based it on. At any rate,
not based on like a plane or anything.
No. Well, that's what the guy with 90 employees said. He said, listen, I might have got 90 employees, but I don't have two helicopters. You know what I mean? Which the other fella does. But so at any rate, it's very interesting, and everybody, sorry, this is going to get maybe morose in a way. It is interesting to think about these scales, the spectrum of success that you go through in your life. Right. And there's, and you can apply it to bands too, right? I don't know who sounds a little bit like Drug Church, who's so much more successful. Like, I'm sure we could find a lot of people. Probably find quite a few.
I mean, like, to an outsider, who sounds like Drug Church?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it could be. Fuck. I was gonna say you've kind of lapped all the people that you were like you were kind of you owe. You're bigger than Sam. I am. You're bigger than Seaweed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of like a band. Like, I mean, no one would know Quicksand. Like, I don't know if it's like a. I'm trying to think of like a band that's like playing.
Okay.
4 years strong.
You know what? I'm not terribly familiar with their music, but let's say that's an example. It's really interesting to be. To kind of do, you know, throughout my life, I've played music, and the goal has always been to get it to more people and try to do the most with it. Right now, right. For stuff like self-defense, that means, what's the most, you know, oh, let's go record on different islands. That's fun. You know what I mean? And so when you talk about maximizing something or doing the most with it, you're not actually talking about money. You're not talking about necessarily even the amount of people listening. You're just talking about doing the most in whatever way. Right. And, when it becomes closer to a career in whatever capacity, you get put on a tiny bit of a treadmill where I've always been interested in other people's careers, but you're kind of in some ways obliged to watch other people's careers, you know, and
right. Cause you're all in a race next to each other in a
yeah.
And, way. Yeah.
And, I think it is a blessing to me that I am old, because I'm able to look at other people's careers and be excited for them, you know, rather than jealous or
right. Or them, you know, you thinking this 23-year-old got the opportunity that you should have had. You're like, well, yeah.
If they do, they do. That's great. You know, I mean, God bless.
But, I mean, yeah. At this point, you're like, I have, you know, at your age, you're like 10 years older than the 23-year-old.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. but like, yeah, you're like, well, I was never going to get that opportunity.
Yes, exactly.
I'm, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Right. And, but it is endlessly fascinating to me to watch other people's careers and which way they're going. And these things come up, right? Like, and people want you. When I do interviews, I get asked about Turnstile more than I get asked about my own band.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause it's such a moment defining thing that we're witnessing. And, this ties into what we were saying about being bad AR. I can say this because Turnstile are my friends. there's not a decision that they've made up to this point that I thought was good. And I've been wrong about
everything. They're all good.
And they're all good.
Like a hip hop tour?
Every single decision they've made, I've gone, I don't know, man. Like,
and you're going to be the one guitar band at Rolling Loud?
Yeah. Every single one, I'm wrong. Every single one.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, that should tell you, like, go against your first blush, you know, like your first idea.
Honestly, what it tells me is that, I mean, if I'm doing any, if I'm, you know, I'm not nowhere near as successful as those fellas, but if I'm doing my thing or whatever, it just speaks to the fact that there's more than one way to do a thing. You know what I mean? And that's good in and of itself, but, actually, sorry, everybody, schizophrenic episode. Could you ever see Drug Church on tour with rap?
I actually think so. I think there's, you know, there's a certain lane of like rap that like has such a like an awesome crossover with like guitar music. There's not a ton.
Not a ton, but
like
but,
could I see you going out with like Travis Scott? Probably. Well, maybe.
So here's the thing. I don't want to say a thing that's going to come back to bite me. I'm just going to express my personal opinion that is open to financially incentivized change. I got no desire to be on a stage with rappers, like less than zero desire to be on a stage with rappers. Like, I don't think that that is ever a good mix outside of maybe the Judgment Night soundtrack. I like Outbreak went in that direction and I'm happy for the success that they've experienced. You know what I mean? It's cool. Right. And Outbreak, of course, I will take your money if you want us to play, but I'm saying for something that I would organize.
Right. A tour or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Jamie from Code Orange. This has got to be 10 years ago. Told me, yeah, we're going to go out with rappers because I think that's the future. And I said, Jamie, you're a stupid man. And I was wrong.
You were wrong. He brought out Wicked Phase on one of those tours.
Well, it's not just forget what they did. He was right. This was the wave. This was the thing that, and everybody tells me, like all the dudes that are really into rap tell me, hey man, it's a different world. These dudes just want to push bit. And
we want to stage dive and mosh.
Yeah,
they really do. I feel like you could win over a crowd that don't know that. Like, I think the Alkaline Trio tour showed that you'd be able to get up there and like get people on your side. There's certain bands that may even be bigger than Drug Church that may get up there and people are like, yeah, nah. But you could exhort people into doing stuff, which makes it fun.
Sometimes I the only quality I have as a musician or performer, not even a musician, as a performer, is that I can typically get you to do the thing without feeling like you got guilted into
right,
it.
You feel obligated to like, yeah, all right. Like, yeah.
Right. I hate that vibe. It's bad. But I am fairly good at that other thing. But just speaking from my own interest, I like a lot of rap, everybody. I just don't I've never understood ever. Where the overlap, it's in the same way that I don't care to play with something super soft. You know, I don't have the vision, and I fully concede that that's what it is. It's not that it's wrong to do it the other way. It's not that anybody's foolish. Obviously things like, you know, Turnstile's career or Outbreak Festival, these are both successful entities. You know what I mean? Like it's just for my own ear. I don't understand.
You don't hear yourself working well with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm wrong about so much. So, you know, prove me wrong, world. Put me on tour with Travis Scott. I'll do 40 dates. You know what I mean? It's fine. But yeah. I don't have that sort of vision.
I mean, some of the stuff, like the stuff, like the crossover kind of like these bands are like selling out arenas.
Oh yeah.
Like Suicide Boys and like, City Morgan and stuff. It's like, you know, these bands are fucking humongous.
So forgive me, everybody. This is not me bragging because I don't think this is a thing to brag about. It's totally irrelevant. But I just spent a long time with people that are super plugged into music. So I don't know what is it has been announced yet or not. Apparently there is a tour coming up that has a band that is in our world that is going out with some very popular hip hop stuff as well. And
two bands, I think.
Okay. So you're aware of this.
If it's the one we're thinking of.
And those are going to sell massive rooms. The rooms that they're putting them in, if we're talking about the same thing, are big, big rooms. And
yeah, like arenas.
And it is, I don't know. This proves I'm wrong. Everybody don't listen to me about shit. Just come to me if you want me to be excited about, you know, like your VFW bound, somewhat moshy, but mostly stage divey, hardcore band. You can get me to speak enthusiastically about that matter, and hopefully I'll be right. But everything else, don't listen to me on it, because if you and I are talking about the same tour,
I'm going to put it up to the screen.
Okay. That's it.
Yep.
That's the one. Oh, wait. No, actually, go back. Go back.
Can you read who the second one is? It's not.
Yes. 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 Okay. Yes. Right. So that's the one. And that is going to be
massive.
Massive.
Yeah. Because one of the agent was at your wedding.
Yeah. It is. How wrong could I be? Because if somebody had come to me with that, I would go, yeah, I don't think that'll work, man. Oh, it's going to work.
It's funny because when we were talking about Pain and Truth, like, what's the next thing for them? Like, what's the next thing for the main support band? I think that makes total sense. Mm. The band before them that is more in our, like,
hey, you, did you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends, Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Like, we always talk about what the next step is for them. Yeah. And we have certain ideas that they're not seem to be very interested in.
Oh, no.
Like, when we go, like, why aren't you going out on tour with fucking Lamb of God?
Yep.
Or fucking Machine Head or whatever the fuck.
Yep.
And they're like, no, we'd rather have, you know, they're playing like, you know, they played Alexander's Palace. By saying this, you know who I'm talking about if you follow them at all. But they're opening for like Neck Deep and like Knuckle Puck and playing in front of fucking 15,000 people.
This is where I am. I'm prepping myself right now, Tom, I got a new album coming out. I'm going to have a bunch of interviews. I'm prepping myself to say, when they ask me questions about things, I'm just going to say, listen, man, I have zero vision. I'm not a creative person, because I would never think to do these things.
Just like, I'm just very happy for them. Give them like the very Derek Jeter answer. Like, yes. Just proud of everybody. I'm happy for people doing what they'd like to do. I'm really happy where we are. You know, we left it all out on the field last night. And
So,
can I ask you questions?
Yes, please hit me with the questions.
Oh, did we finish that before?
Listen, this is a meandering schizoid.
I don't want to meander too much, because usually Bob will like rein us in a little bit.
Yeah,
but. How you feeling? How you doing? I just did that because we have to have that on here.
Yeah.
All right. So, as you mentioned, you are now an incredibly happily married man. So
it's a fact. Yeah.
We poked around at it for like months coming up about it.
Yeah.
I'm still heartbroken that I was not able to be there.
Wish you had.
All the stuff that I was worried about was much ado about nothing, and I found that out at 7 o'clock Friday night, which is cool. I'm like, oh, awesome! I can't really get a flight now. So, and you know what? Our friends who were terminally, like, always online failed me, because I was hoping that I checked at like 1 o'clock in the morning, New York time, that I was going to be flipping through Instagram stories of like you guys saying I do, fucking all this sort of stuff. The only thing our friend David, was like, Matt Skiba was the ring boy? I go, what? And that's the only thing I knew. So, and then I did follow our buddy Eric. I wanted, all right, you leave Saturday morning from Los Angeles, California.
Yes.
And I want to know, I heard it was like, you lived like your own version of like The Hangover.
Yeah, it was get him to the Greek. Everybody, no Diddy in this one.
No, but, stroke the furry wall.
It was get him to the Greek, but without the sort of hijinks, just the incredible challenge. The Hangover. Basically, and I'm going to take this in a fun direction, and then I'm going to crash this into a mountain. Are you ready?
Always.
The band travels as the band, and I travel with my then partner, but soon to be wife, now wife, and a group of friends that we rented our own van just to get the LA people to Vegas, right?
Right. So name, like, who we got? We got Eric. Who else?
We got Eric, Evan, Spencer, Mac, right?
Oh, okay.
And it is... It's just a fun time. We're all off. Stop at the Whole Foods. Let's go. Mac TM'd the whole thing because I was dragging my feet. He went and rented a vehicle, figured it all out. Let's go. Evan is trying to get his CDL. So
he's down to drive.
We're down to drive. It's all, I found out later that Drug Church's van had passed an accident that had perhaps happened 10 minutes prior. The EMTs had not made it to the scene. The bodies were covered by other people's jackets.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And now how far outside? So they leave, like, you guys almost left like almost simultaneously,
but we stopped in Barstow to use the toilet, and that was all the difference. So,
okay.
So we got stuck behind the actual closure of that highway. They slipped by on a one lane that was being...
How far outside of LA was this? Was this like in a desert or this like...
Yeah, this is Baker. This is past Baker. So this is desert.
Wow.
So they get waved by pedestrians. There's nobody there yet. There's not pedestrians, you know, people outside the car.
Yeah.
And one lane it. And then... fire trucks pull up, cops pull up, close down the highway for hours.
Fuck. We
are left with a decision. Do we wait for it to clear up? We're an hour and a half away. Do we wait for it to clear up?
And there's a major interstate.
This is the only way there. I-15, not the only way. We'll get to that in a second. But this is I-15. Do we wait for it to clear up and take another hour and 15 minutes to get to the destination,
right?
Or do we backtrack and take 2.5 hours, arriving essentially at 8 when I've got to play at 8:40?
What time did you guys leave LA?
Well, that's the thing. We left at 10 a.m. So we should have been more than safe. But that's how
long is that drive? 3 hours?
The drive is 4 hours and change.
Oh wow! Okay.
But the lane closure, the highway closure meant that we were sitting in traffic for a very long time. And then we had to make a decision, and we made the decision to turn around and go through Death Valley. Wow. And, which is very beautiful, by the way, everybody, if you want to drive.
I've been there. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. So do that, but, only if you got the time, because I arrived with 10 minutes, before we got on stage.
Wow.
And obviously I have my wife with me, and she is, you know, nobody wants their wedding night to involve panic. You know, am I going to be able to, am I going to be able to do my makeup before I get married? Yes or no. You know what I mean? So it is it's stressful all around. She handled it with grace. And the fellas we were traveling with were true truckers, and we made it with very little time. I go out on stage. I think the show was good, and then I race back to the hotel, grab my girlfriend at the time, now wife, and and we race back to the venue.
Do you change?
I changed into a...
Do you have a tuxedo t-shirt on?
Tuxedo t-shirt, yeah.
Wonderful.
And so I
did you not go full Tommy and Pam?
I'd say we went relatively Tommy and Pam. I mean, my girl's outfit
Max
was
had this conversation about this.
Pretty Pam. I don't have the body to do a Tommy, and I know that there's people that love to, like, you know those guys who have bad bodies but they revel in the bad body?
Yeah.
I'm not that guy.
Got it.
You know, when my body's looking bad, I'm not like, "Oh, I'm going to be the ironic Tommy." You know what I mean?
Me and Max were talking about this, and we're talking about it was supposed to be a Pam and Tommy themed wedding. And then we came to this revelation because how you've messaged the wedding and the invitations and whatnot. He goes, "Holy shit, what if we're the only two people he actually told?"
Yeah,
he goes, "Dude, possible. My girlfriend would have murdered me if I showed up." Like that told about the theme.
Yeah.
He's like, "If my girlfriend and I dressed up like Tommy Lee and Pam, and we're the only two people dressed like that." She's like, "She would have fucking murdered me and buried me in the desert."
I mean, listen, everybody, if you were one of my friends listening to this and you're asking yourself why I didn't get invited, it's pure oversight because there was no registry. There's no list. I was texting people saying, "Hey, would you like to," you know, my pitch was, "I'm getting married. This is a very low stress thing. Come if you can. Would love to have you." And that was it. So if I somehow missed you, it is pure oversight. It does not represent how I feel about you as a person.
You're not in a group chat that Pat remembered to.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. Also, can we talk about how wedding planning is a job for a reason? Because when I'm trying to organize all of these things via text, via 35 different texts coming in, like, you know, it is not easy. And then, as you pointed out, it's not like I have strong organizational skills either. Yesterday I said, "All right, everybody, we're pivoting to Italian." People hit me 2 hours later and said, "Yeah, but where?" You know what I mean? Italians, are we going to Italy? What does that mean? like we're pivoting to Italian. So in my mind, I thought pivoting to Italian, everybody knew, "Oh, meet us at Ferraro's at 5:30.
You know,
but it was a really, at the risk of getting emotional, it was a really lovely, wedding, you know, irreverent, I guess, in whatever respect. We got married at a venue,
at the Brooklyn Bowl.
We did. Shout out to Max and Jay, for being very tolerant of what we did.
That's cool that they let that happen.
Yeah.
How soon after Alkaline Trio does this happen?
So we got married at 12:48, maybe.
Wow.
We were due to get married at around midnight. That's what I told people, but the merch counts weren't done. So
rock.
So everybody, you know, so our merch guy was like, "Yo, you got to stall. I don't want to miss it." It was cool. It was fun time.
Was your ring bearer?
He was my ring bearer. Yeah.
Now, did Shapiro dress like Elvis?
No, he dressed like very casual. He looked like he was in the movie Swingers. There's a couple. So did Max Vick. There's a lot of people that just looked like they actually are. Or comfortable.
It happened to be in Vegas, like, and it's like came by.
Yeah. Exactly.
Lounge. Yeah.
It was really lovely though. I'm grateful for the fact it didn't go off the rails despite how bad I am. What I Got by Sublime was our wedding song. It was really nice, but I'm trying to think. I had something to say about. I'm trying to keep with the theme of tiers of things, right?
What was your morose? Let me fly this into the mountain thing.
Oh, just the fact that when you're under a lot of stress, you got to check your phone to see what the accident was on I-15 and say, "Oh, 3 juveniles dead. Oh, I got no problems." You know what I mean?
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
oh, we're going to miss the show. Hopefully Alkaline Trio is cool and we still get paid that night. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, oh, we're going to be late to our own wedding. Nobody has to make a phone call to our parents. You know what I mean? So it's keeping things in perspective, not to be, this is morbid, everybody, but it could have been such a problem. And this applies for everybody that's got opportunities in front of them. You know, we got a lot of people in bands that listen to our shit. If something goes wrong, you got to, you know, shy of a brain tumor, you just keep counting your blessings. You're going to get another shot at whatever it is, you know?
Oh, God, I just looked it up. Why did I look it up?
You looked it up? Don't look it up.
Oh, no.
don't look it up.
Two SUVs collided head. Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
One, oh, God, transporting a three-year-old with a severed arm. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, you Why, don't want man? To. It's too much.
No.
But that's the point, is that none of that is, my wife and I love each other. If our wedding, if the venue had exploded, still fine. Get married the next
day. You would have got married tomorrow. Totally fine.
Whatever. So.
Wow.
But all right, let's get off of that shit for a second.
The Drug Church Instagram posted that this was the best tour you guys have ever done. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. The West Coast was softer than I anticipated, I'll be honest with you.
Still pretty fucking sick.
Still sick, but just soft. Also, remember how I was so excited to play Crystal Ballroom?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, they got that floor.
The bouncy floor, yeah.
Yeah, listen, everybody.
Nobody bounced?
Firstly, the PA cut in and out. I don't want to, it may be a bad night for the venue. But Portland, your flash dance style laws about kids and liquor are so Mormon and so, like, are you aware of this? They got to cut the room in half because they can't have kids near the people drinking. Are you aware of this?
I wasn't, but I feel like I've been to other places that have been like that.
Yeah, there's places in the desert. I think Mesa might, whatever it is. But
that happened. I went through that in like Kansas City or something.
It is such a miserable thing for a show. They cut the room kind of horizontally, or not horizontally, perpendicularly, whatever.
Yeah, like across,
they cut it at like a 45 degree angle.
Like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, so there can't be a real pit of any type. And it's just, I don't know. Everybody bum me out. Crystal Ballroom, your beautiful room. I think that you got to get a couple things sorted. Also, while I'm just off on one, Drake's venue knows what to do.
Which venue is that?
It's History. It's in Toronto.
He owns that venue?
He owns that venue.
Did not know that.
So that's why when you go into the green rooms, there's a bunch of photos of Drake just hugging other celebrities. Now, I've heard people criticize that, why is my green room full of Drake? Here's what I'll say. The green rooms are well-appointed and bright. And I just need everybody to understand this. I do not frizz my hair. I do not have a headband. I'm not wearing spandex. I'm not addicted to cocaine. And I'm not running around with women. I do not need a dark green room. Stop it.
No.
It's disgusting.
Right.
It makes you feel gross and you lose things out of your pocket and then they're gone.
Right. And you're just trying to sit there, play Fortnite on your computer.
That's it.
Have people sitting around that you don't actually want there.
That's it. And listen, everybody, can I sound like an asshole? Is that all right? Is that acceptable on this podcast?
Not the first time, but yeah.
Everybody, you got to ask yourself, am I wanted in this green room? Just run that through your head, right? Because when I'm in a room that is the size of my bathroom at my home. And somebody comes in. There's nothing wrong with that. Good to see you. There is something wrong with it when seven people who aren't band people are vying for seats. You know, like yeah. It's.
Oh, I did that.
Listen, but you get to ask yourself the question and answer in the affirmative. Am I wanted? Yes. But if you are on the line with it, if you're like.
But those people don't realize they're not wanted.
I know, but it's. And people are bold about shit like guest list, and that's fine. I also, everybody, I kind of get it. If I'm a support band and the tour is already doing well and you don't think that you're taking any money out of my pocket, it's completely fine to ask for guest list. You know what I mean?
Big rooms, big money.
I mean, if you're our friends, the only people that, you know, if your friends are in a 300 cap room that they're not selling and you're asking for guest list, that's rude.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but
paying $20 in support. Yeah.
Paying the $20. But if your friends are in a support band, you would not have gone otherwise. You're just stopping in to say hello, be supportive, maybe pick up a t-shirt. That's completely fine. But, and even the people, I'm not suggesting this, everybody don't do this, but even the people that just hit you that day on Twitter and are like, hey, I'm, you know, I just couldn't get in. I'm bummed. Those people can, if our shit's not full, all good. You know what I mean? Like right. We can figure out, don't do that, everybody. I don't want to deal with more of that, but that's also fine. But, the green room squatting has got to end. You know what I mean? people get mad about stage potatoing, green room squatting is the new thing that's like people come and are like, hey, can I leave my luggage here? I'm going to the airport afterwards. What? What? Can you leave your, like, yo, this shit is the size of two armoires. You know what I mean? Like, there's no room. Now, I fully understand that I am not the best case scenario because some of my bandmates love to have a drink with people that come by, love to chat it up, chop it up.
Very gregarious. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I'm like the guy that's like, I'm playing Fortnite. Now, everybody, if you're my legitimate friend and I'm happy to see you, even if I'm looking at Fortnite and not paying any attention to you, don't get self-conscious about what I'm saying here. But if you're like a person that I don't know and you are just kind of like, so this is a green room. Yeah, it sure is. It's just like your room at home, except shittier. You know what I mean? Full of smelly men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hold on one second. I am sending a text to our mutual friends to make sure everybody's on the same page.
To not come in the green room anymore?
About what do you know about, sorry, everybody. I swear to God, we were going to talk about hardcore at some point. What do you know about this chef, Alejandro something, or Aja, he's got a Spanish name and he makes Mexican street food / Chinese fusion food or something. Basically, I'm getting roped into some shit tonight, man. And hold on.
How many people are still out there?
Listen, when my wife and I chose this spot to get married, obviously it's kitsch and fun to do a wedding in Vegas, right?
Right.
And I'm very blessed. My wife is traditional in a lot of aspects in life, but she was loose about this. She was like, let's make it fun. Let's, you know,
and put up with your dumb friends. Yeah. It's
yeah. And, nice. I told people, hey, make it a vacation. And some people really took it to heart because they're not leaving. You know,
I mean, hey, you know what though? I mean, I guess if you're paying to get out there, it's probably cheaper to fly back on a Tuesday or whatever.
Right.
Oh, it's Jose Andres. I'm looking at it now. I don't know if you're going to have
fan dude.
I don't know if there's anything vegan here, buddy.
Is there nothing vegan?
I'm looking. Maybe. I mean, maybe. Yeah. Hungos, shiitake, shimeji, and oyster mushrooms. Roasted poblano, guacamole, and fried.
Are you looking at China poblano?
Yes.
Okay, tell me if there's something vegan, because I agreed to do this shit because our mutual friend said that it was there's guacamole to die for. Don't tell me that I can't eat the guacamole.
There's 20 vegetable fried rice. There's some kind of eggplant dish, a wok roasted seasonal vegetable. Oh, you're fine. Hold on, let me see.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got churros.
Hold on.
I think you're fine. I think you'll be fine.
Okay. Okay. all right. So, let me just say, everybody, I'm really grateful. I just also am going to need several weeks to decompress from being around so many people.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of you're a loner.
Yeah. You are social. You're good. I've watched you. As long as you've got a seat, you're good. You know what I mean? Like,
post up somewhere, it's the story of my life.
If you can post up, you're game for the bullshit. You could just chat it up.
Yeah, I try.
I start to feel really like, even with friends that I really love, I start to feel pressed after like an hour. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know what? I usually break up my time talking to people with lengthy YouTube viewing. You know what I mean? Like
and meanwhile, like me and Dubin are like chilling in the in the shitty dark green room before this techno starts at Knockdown Center. Sorry for me and Mike. Yeah.
No. Listen, that's totally fine. It's more like I'm giving this, and I'm not even trying to sound like an asshole, really, because life is not that serious. It's just I'm trying to say that sometimes when you're a friend of somebody and you're in the green room and you recognize that you are seated in a spot that probably should go to the band.
Right.
That's when
post set. Yeah. Like, no,
that's when
that's
when you should express some self-awareness. You know what I mean? Like, and be like, oh, why am I in an absolute stranger's green room?
But here's my experience with that. As the person who's been the stranger, my friends that have access like that, like you have to almost earn the go ahead. Like, I know people that are like, yo, I can't bring so and so because they're gonna corner so and so and punish them.
Yeah,
but like our mutual friend, big booking agent in New York, will bring me to places that I'm like, I don't know if I belong here, knowing that I'm like, he knows I'm not gonna fucking embarrass him. I'm not gonna be like, ask stupid questions or act out in any weird way. Yeah. I'm gonna speak when spoken to and just fucking hang out. And I think that's you have to almost, the people, I think it's, you should blame the friends that are bringing these outside people and not vetting them and realizing that it's not cool.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
for
like,
sure.
You're so far away from home and that's your one vestige of like your place, like you're like for the day.
Yeah. And certainly there's a number of people that really truly do not get it where, you know, they'll be just truly drunken strangers that'll come into your green room and you'll think that they're with somebody and they'll say, never heard of you before, boys, but that was really great. And then they'll sit down and you'll be like,
Who are we with? Hey, yeah.
I feel like a dick, but why are you sitting? That's weird.
Yeah, like, whoa. Yeah.
Like, pretend this is somebody's car. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Unless you got in my green room thinking it was an Uber, then yeah. And you got in the wrong Uber, then get the fuck out of the green. Yeah. I mean, I totally get that. Cause sometimes you need time to either get ready and amp up before a show or decompress after the show. I get it. I totally get it. Do we have any hardcore or I'm just glad that we got to record something and have something ready for everyone on Tuesday. What's your plan? All right, so what's the plan for the rest? How long are you got? Like, how long is Fiona around in the States? You're coming back east at some point.
Are you coming back
to New York City.
We're going to spend a couple. Everybody, my friends are not actually, most of my friends are in music. I have very few rich friends, but another friend offered me a mansion in the Berkshires for a couple days.
Jesus.
As a gift, right? So I think I talked about this years ago. He actually did it. A friend of mine identified that the only growth sector in Airbnb, which was ready to contract, was in the estates, like the really nice place where wealthy people bring their sons and grandsons to smoke cigars for 5 days.
Right. Know? Like, oh, we got a wedding here and we're going to have 15 people in this. Yeah.
So he pulled it. He did it. He bought a place with a lot of acreage that is on an old, you know, colonial, whatever, blah, blah, in the Berkshires. And he offered it to us, but my girl's never been to New York. She'd like to see it. You know, so there's some debate on which days we're going to spend where.
I mean, it's not that far of a trip, Berkshire to New York. Like you could do, you know, depending on how crazy you want to get, you can do, you know, a day or two in New York and see as much as you want. I mean, it all depends.
And just to link this to the Hardcore Podcast, if there's any shows, let me know. I'm sure my wife would love to attend. You know, the Everybody Gets Hurt reunion with me. You know, I mean, just let me know what's going on in New York.
Well, depending on when you're down here, Shelter and Civ are playing.
Oh!
At Bowery Ballroom. It's Sunday the 7th or whatever. It's a Scanlon show. It's Scanlon's first New York City booking. Oh. Yeah. It's like Jive Bomb. I can't think of who... I think it's Rule Them All, Jive Bomb, Shelter, Civ, possibly.
Oh, Rule Them All making a rare appearance.
Let me just double check that. I might be telling tales out of school, but that's on Sunday. And my offer stands. If you guys do come here, I would love to take you to dinner as a make good for not being able to get out there. Who the hell is this? It's also, it just says Jive Bomb. Oh, it's actually, and I mean, even better, honestly. Oh. It's an early show. It starts, doors open at 3.
I'm curious if my wife would have any interest in me putting on the Creepers and dancing to Civ.
I mean, you know, it might be fun.
Oh, by the way, did I tell you, I forget who it was. I spoke to somebody who is an unironic big fan of the second Civ record.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, he told me that he approached Sammy with that, and he was like, I've never heard that before. That's great.
Why was somebody talking about, like, one of them, and it might have been Civ or somebody involved in the record, and they were like, it's going to be one of those records that people were like, going to, like, one day it's just going to click, and it's like,
it hasn't happened yet.
People are going to look back. I'm like, dude, it's been 25 years, man. I don't know.
Yeah, still waiting on that day.
Yeah, but that they went for something that, like, people just haven't caught up with yet.
Okay, you know what?
Maybe.
I pray that's true.
Maybe, but you know what? Set your goals. Fucking great record.
Yeah, we got that. You know, weirdly, we got that one right away.
Yeah, that clicked immediately. I don't know. Heard the first 7-inch, and I was like, I am in.
I have to get down to China, blah, 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 whatever the fuck.
Since it's Latin, it's probably China Poblano.
It is. It's China. That's right. That's how
it's not China Poblano.
Yeah. Okay. I won't embarrass myself.
Can I have the guacamole and a quesadilla?
China Poblano.
Yeah. China.
Everybody, I lived in Southern California for cumulatively maybe 10 years. And I, no disrespect to our Spanish speaking audience, I'm sorry. I just never got it.
Never picked up on it.
No. Not a word, really. Living in complete white ignorance over here. Which is not a word. All right. Everybody,
enjoy
yourself.
Promise
next week, it will not be a wedding drug church episode. It will be something very hardcore. I promise.
I mean, something's going to happen on Twitter that we're going to have to talk about.
Yeah.
Invariably. Twitter, was it? No, it hasn't been that quiet over the weekend. I don't know if you saw some of it.
No, I missed it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's air. It's good for air.
Okay, all right.
But every once in a while, people go, oh, yeah, fuck that person.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I just want to – this is one thing that I will say is very funny that I screenshot this because I thought it was so – I don't even know how to put it. Hold on. It is my favorite tweet regarding LDB. Let's see if I can find it. Damn it. Okay. Well, here we go. Okay. Name redacted. I don't think I know these people, so don't. Telling everyone about her new friend she talked to for a couple hours at the fest. Quote unquote, some old head who was missing his thumb is how she described him. How funny is it to sit and talk to Jamie Josta for a couple hours, just chatting, just like, this guy's chopping fun.
Yeah, he's
this
nice.
This guy's fun. And just walk away and be like, yo, that old head was really cool.
And obviously leave before a set.
I think it's just so, like, as much as I think kids do need some reference to history, I also think that that's funny and a good moment. And like, you know what I mean? Like because I would not, you know, I'm not starstruck by Jamie Josta, obviously, but if I was in a room with him, I'd be like, that was Jamie Josta is different than I remember from when I was 16. That dude's cool. But you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be right. Like, I wouldn't be like, who is that guy? That was
right. Like, you leave and you're like, that was Ray Capa. What? Like, whatever, like, or whomever, like, although, I mean, I'm sure you've done it, and I know I've done it, that I'll leave somewhere, and I'm like, oh, who was that?
Yeah,
and you'd be like, yeah, that was fucking the guy from, well, you know, like.
But not, like, typically the headliner, Tom.
I had a friend. We went to like some like Fader Records, whatever, some kind of party, right? It was a friend of mine and his girlfriend. We're hanging out this whole night with this couple, right? Super nice. They were really fun. They just pretty much hung out with us the whole time. We're leaving. They're like, hey, we love you guys. Hopefully, you know, everyone has fun. You know, everyone gets laid tonight or whatever. This couple leaves, right? And the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend of my buddy, was like, start singing the song Grand Street by Matt and Kim. Mm. And my buddy's like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. She's like, what? He's like, that's Matt and Kim. And she goes, no, I know, I like them. He goes, we just spent 3 hours hanging out with Matt and Kim. She had no idea. She just thought they were a couple named Matt and Kim.
Wow.
And like, knew the song. And like, why did that pop in your head? I mean, maybe because you hung out with somebody named Matt. But like, we didn't go like, so how's tour? We were just talking to them like normal human beings. And we were super fucking, they were so nice. But like, it's funny that you're a fan and you could even pick them out. So, I mean, I'm sure we've been around people, someone will leave and they'd be like, dude, that's like or baseball player or whomever that probably came. You guys got fucking tweeted. There was somebody on Instagram that has like a million followers that was like talking about Drug Church that you guys reposted. I don't even know who the guy was, but he was just like, kid, I want to start a band. And then, or something, and like the father responds like, and then it ends up being Drug Church. I don't know, it was something weird.
I did not see it. Hopefully he's not the white power guy that from a couple weeks ago.
No, he seemed like he was like some kind of influencer or something. I'm sure there have been people at your shows, especially on Alkaline Trio, that were like real deal, like people that you were like, who the fuck is this guy? And it's like, I was like a Kinsella or something, or like famous that you're like, oh, I probably should have known who that was.
The fella from the Lawrence Arms, who one of my bandmates is like a super fan of.
Brendan Kelly?
Yeah, was just chilling. You know
what I mean? Oh, he's like a Chicago dude.
He's just a chiller. All right, I got to get to this place my 6:30 appointment.
What's it called?
They call him Reservation China Poblama.
Good. What was the last word?
Poblama.
Peace, everybody. Next week, back to normal. Later.